Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan in D.C., 910 The Fan in Richmond, 105.1, radio.com. We're everywhere. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. And join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Michael Lombardi, radio.com, NFL insider. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data, insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download that BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available on radio.com. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing all right. You know, we've been talking a lot now for weeks about what Washington's going to do at quarterback. Before we even dive into that, what do you make of the front office they've put together?
Well, I mean, look, Marty Herney's an experienced guy. He knows how to get deals done. He knows Ron Rivera. He knows what Ron likes. So, I think that certainly, and he'll get things done. And Martin Mayhew's got experience within the league. So, and then Chris Polian gives them a pro guy. So I think what it is comfortability for everybody, and everybody gets on the same page. And typically in most organizations, that's probably the hardest thing to get accomplished, being on the same page. I mean, look at the last regime that was there. There was two guys running the team, and everybody else was wondering what was going on. So I think whenever you can have harmony and unity within an organization, that's the first step towards making progress.
So when it comes to quarterback, we were talking about the dilemma they have with Alex Smith. Alex Smith has been doing interviews, and it seems like he wants to come back. What does Washington do with him? He did have a few moments last year, but overall, very uninspired play. If you're just talking about his play, inspirational story, but the play on the field wasn't great. What would you do with Alex Smith?
Well, I think you got to get better. I mean, obviously, it's easier said than done. You've got to find it. I know they sniffed around on Marcus Mariota. I think they kind of got away from that. I think they're sniffing around on every quarterback. I think you have to compare Alex Smith, what he can do and what he can bring to the table, to the next guy you could get. And even if you brought Alex Smith back, you need to sign a quarterback. You're going to need to get somebody for your future, somebody that you can kind of build around. And I think that's what the Washington football team will do. They'll continue to do that. Look, I like Alex Smith's story. I think it was unbelievable. But at the end of the day, he relies on his athleticism, his ability to move. And because of all the injuries, I'm not sure he has that same zip and that same explosiveness as an athlete that he once had. It happens to all of us. We get older, and the game changes, and we've got to change to it.
Michael, does a veteran at quarterback make more sense for Coach Rivera? Because he's not going to be here for 7 or 8 years. He probably has a 3 or 4 year window to get this team into playoff contention. He did it in year one. Does a veteran make more sense, or drafting somebody and developing that rookie?
The right answer makes the most sense. I don't think you can pigeonhole it. You know, I think, look, today, you know, that question is kind of a question that we used to ask because college was running the wishbone and the veer. You know, now college runs a pro system, right? Those kids that come from college, they've been throwing the ball for most of their lives. They understand how to drop back. And so for a quarterback to kind of spend more than a year or six games standing on the sidelines wondering what's going on, that's not the game today. That you draft a guy, he's going to play. You got 5 years. You can't waste too many years because you're losing contracts. So you got to get him in there. You got to get him ready to go. I mean, Justin Herbert's a perfect example. I mean, he went in there, he played, he did really well. So I think that's the case. I think you got to get him in there. I think you got to find the right answer. You can't pigeonhole the answer. Oh, we need a vet. Oh, we need a rookie. No, no, we need the best player. Let's figure out who the best player is.
Well, is there anybody out there now, any veteran quarterback now that's kind of been rumored to be on the move? You know, obviously Wentz is going to be traded. It wouldn't be
Darnold,
him, but is there anybody? Yeah, Darnold maybe, depending on, you know, where guys are drafted. But is there anybody that you look at and go, you know what, this would be a good fit? I mean, maybe a bridge quarterback to whoever they draft, but is there somebody that you like?
You know, the one thing I wrote about this today for The Athletic, I think we ask this question all the time, like, who is a franchise quarterback? Who can lead us to a Super Bowl? So let me just give you a little background. Peyton Manning spent 12 years in Indianapolis, won a ton of games, went to three conference championship games, went to two playoffs, two Super Bowls, and won one. One in 12 years, right? Aaron Rodgers, can't get better than him, right? You know, 12 years, one Super Bowl win, four conference championship games. Like, it takes a team. It takes a full team. We saw this in the Super Bowl. As great as Mahomes is, they have the best wide receiver in all of football. They have the best tight end in all of football. But if you don't have an offensive line and you don't have a defensive line and you don't have a special teams that complements it, you can't go anywhere. So whatever quarterback you get, you got to build the team around him. If you take Sam Darnold, you got to run this style of offense. That's the key component to this whole thing. There is no magic wand. Deshaun Watson, you know, he's a tremendous talent. But you better put him in the right system, and you better have a really good team around him, because he's not going to carry a bad team into the playoffs. We saw that last year with Houston. We make so much. We put so much pressure on the quarterback. Baker Mayfield, what they did with Baker Mayfield this year was perfect. They put him in an offense that's conducive to Baker Mayfield. Play action pass. He's short. He can't see. So they ran a bunch of play action passes. They bootlegged him. They got him out of the pocket. He had his best year. Now, can he carry them to a Super Bowl? No. Can he be helped him get to a Super Bowl? Yes. And I think that's how we have to look at quarterbacks nowadays. There's no perfect player. Maybe it's Trevor Lawrence. You know, maybe it's Justin Herbert. But it's rare to find a perfect player. Even the perfect ones, Peyton Manning, only one Super Bowl in Indianapolis. That seems so light, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to find a way to build a team around the guy and highlight what that guy does really well.
Yeah, that's how hard it is to win, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, crazy. That's the National Football League, right? Yeah. You know, you get a great quarterback, and all the fans think, well, we got a great quarterback. Oh, we're home free. I mean, look, if you don't have a good right tackle, if you don't have a good, you got to have a good team. Here's the issue. If you're Dak Prescott and you're Todd France's agent and you want all the money and you want to sign a franchise tender, that's great. Good for you. Wonderful. Your W-4 will look great. You'll have a ton of investments. You'll have Swiss bank accounts, but you'll be on a bad team. Just so we get that clear. You won't win. Just ask Kirk Cousins. There's nothing more. Kirk Cousins' bank accounts look fabulous. Will he have any rings on his finger? No. No.
Right, right.
Because he's taken all the money. He took all the money. When you take all the money at quarterback, you kind of hurt your team. Mahomes could have gotten way more money, and he didn't.
Talking to Michael Lombardi, NFL insider for radio.com, you know, you mentioned Kirk Cousins taking all the money. We actually had probably a ridiculous conversation yesterday based on a stat which I had seen that only two guys in the NFL since 2015 had thrown for over 25,000 yards with a quarterback rating over 100. It was Tom Brady and Kirk Cousins.
Well, they're two different players, right? I mean, Tom Brady never took all the money. You know, and stats are a wonderful thing. But, you know, winning is what really matters. I mean, we're in this to win. Super Bowls, titles. You know, you got to get the conference championship games to get there. I think the measure of any great player is conference championship games. The fact that Peyton Manning only went to three conference championship games is for Indianapolis is remarkable. For as many wins and as great as they were in Indianapolis, it's really a slight. It's really hard. So you've got to build a team around them, and you've got to make sure that there's money available for players to enhance your team.
Now he went to like three with Denver though, didn't he? At
least he went to one with two with Denver.
Two with Denver.
Well, three. Well, he lost. Remember, he lost it. He lost to Baltimore on the Jacoby Jones deep.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're the GM, you're in the front office there for Washington. I don't know how well you know our roster. How would you approach the draft then? I mean, you know, would you draft a quarterback later if you can't get one of these top guys?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that really helps drafting, unless the guy's really good. There's no sense in drafting someone later. I mean, you got to make sure you have a conviction. If I were in their shoes, I would scour the market and try to find the right guy for the right piece. Look, I think they're a quarterback away from winning the East. They won the East this year without one, right? Mm-hmm. They were able to win it with their defense. I think you keep adding talent to their defense, keep rebuilding their offensive line, and then just find that quarterback. And I think you got to do it, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's, you know, do you take a chance on Mariota? Do you go in the draft and you feel like you can move up into the draft to get a young man that you believe could be a player? Can you get Zach Wilson? Can you move up to get Justin Fields? I think you got to do something along those lines to get the guy that you feel fits what you want to be as a football team perfectly.
How do you feel about Trubisky?
Trubisky? You've never listened to me talk then if you ask me that question. Oh, my
God. Well, I mean, just throw it out there.
Oh, my gosh. Mitchell's a really good athlete. If you go back and study his career, starting at Mentor by the Lakes High School, he was the Mr. Ohio in the state of Ohio. He did not get offered a scholarship by Ohio State because they wanted him to play free safety. He's really not an instinctive player. He goes to North Carolina. He doesn't play for 3 years at North Carolina. Why? I don't know, because the kid that beat him out is not even in the Arena League. Okay, so he beat him out. So now he plays 1 year, and the Bears fall in love with him. The best player in the conference is Deshaun Watson for 4 years, and the Bears pick Trubisky over the best player who's proven over time. So Trubisky's a really good athlete who has the ability to throw the ball, but he doesn't understand how to play quarterback position. Yeah. If you take him, you're really in a lot of trouble because you're never going to be good enough. And he makes too many bad plays and not enough good plays.
Mm-hmm. I was telling the guys that if I was a GM, and I'd be terrible at it, Mike, I know that. I'd be horrific. But I'd have like my own little money ball criteria. And at quarterback, I'd stay away from guys that played only 1 year in college. I just want more big game experience. I'd rather have a guy like, hell, even Taylor Heineke. Somebody's played 3 or 4 years and has seen a lot of different things, got 50 games of experience behind him, than a guy like Trubisky who's got one.
Well, I wrote about this in Gridiron Genius, and it's really, I stole it from, and really it's Parcells' theory. I mean, Bill Parcells used to have a belief about quarterbacks, and I think he was right. I mean, you've got to be able to have, they've got to be able to play in games. I mean, they have to start college games. Parcells wanted quarterbacks to start at least 25 college games.
Right.
You know, you got to be able to play in there. You've got to be able to go through the reads, the progression. You got to win. You got to lead teams to come back. You got to bring a team back in a playoff, in a game. You know, I mean, and none of those things were ever done. I mean, when you look at Trubisky's career at North Carolina, he never beat a team in the top 25. I mean, all the numbers that he had, and college football is all about evaluating the team that you're playing against. So for me, I think that clearly you've got to be really good at evaluating those guys. And the other thing in college today, because of the offenses, because of this RPO game, you know, quarterbacks can hold the ball. Haskins' biggest problem at Ohio State, forget the off-the-field stuff. Haskins' biggest problem at Ohio State, if you knew anything about football at all, if you understood the game remotely, right, you understood that Haskins had to see a receiver open before he could throw the ball.
Right.
Right. Everybody was grading the chief scout of Washington, Dan Snyder. He was grading the catch. He was grading the catch. Right. Yeah. He wasn't. And the kid couldn't anticipate any throw.
Right.
You can't play football in the league without anticipating throws.
Right. But so many guys in college, you know, I do a bit here. We do a commercial break breakdown. It's like a funny bit where I come back from commercial break and I give you my evaluation of a guy. All these quarterbacks are the guys are running wide open. They're running spread offenses. There's no reading of defenses. It's impossible. I would hate to be an evaluator and have to put my balls on the line and pick one of these guys who don't do any of the things that are being asked at the next level. Very few of them.
Well, I think you just, you know, it's really not that hard. I mean, you can see it. If the ball comes off his hand, you can feel it. I mean, look, the Baker Mayfield, he's not reading coverages. Why do teams run play action? Mm-hmm. What's the whole genesis behind play action? It's because we want to separate the defense.
Right.
And when we separate the defense, it becomes easy for the quarterback. You either throw it to this guy who's open or throw it over to this guy in the flat. And there's nobody in between because the defense has been separated. You don't sit there and say, oh, middle of the field's closed, I can't run a play-action pass. You never say that. So you are able to – that's how you help quarterbacks be able to read it through, process it through. No quarterback's reading from one side to the other side of the field. It's all the triangle. everything's built on a triangle. So he's reading the triangle, and he's trying to make decisions before he gets to his drop.
Right.
Hey. The guy I keep throwing out there, real quick, Jason, I'm sorry, is Minshew, because I like that guy's balls. I just think he's got moxie. And if you look at his numbers, you know, and again, you can manipulate numbers any way you want, but his numbers are pretty impressive for a guy that's, you know, only been in the league 2 years.
I think he's done a really good job. I don't understand why. I mean, I don't understand why they kept going to Mike Glennon and why they kept doing other things. I mean, look, you look at Minshew's numbers and you compare him to what Baker did his first 2 years in the league. He's got a lot of Mayfield-type traits, and if you put him in the right offense, that's the key. The key is to find a guy that you believe in. If you could put him in your system, you know, remember this. You know, I mean, Case Keenum led the Minnesota Vikings to how many wins? Because he played within the system that helped him. It's not about finding the perfect player. It's about finding the right player.
Where do you think J.J. Watt ends up?
I guess my sense would be any team that I think I would go, if I were him, I'd go to Indy. I'd go to a dome where I could get advantage of the snap count, where I have great traction for 8 games. If I'm a defensive lineman, I want to play in a dome because it helps me. You know, what's the number one advantage in all of football? The snap count. So if you play in a dome, you always have that advantage for the home team because the visiting team can't hear the snap count. So you can get off the ball quicker. And they've got cap room, and I think playing in their system, you know, lining up inside, being a nickel rusher, being a specialist really is what he should do. He's not a down and distance play all the time player. I think he's a specialist, and I think if you put him in the right role, whatever that number is in terms of what the value is, then I think you have to be able to utilize his skill set 25, 30 plays a game.
Yeah. Do we have time? I want to ask him about June Jones' comments. I don't know if you saw it, but June Jones said that he doesn't believe that Trevor Lawrence should be the number one pick. He believes that he actually likes Mac Jones number one, Zach Wilson two. And the reason he said that was because in whatever tape he's watching, he thought that the receivers are making the plays to make Lawrence look better. Now, I don't know
on
if
the
I
downfield throws.
The downfield throw. I don't know if I agree with that, but, you know, Trevor Lawrence had some bad games this year. I don't know if you watched the Syracuse game. He was terrible. Virginia Tech, he was terrible. But he's, you know, he's 6'6", 220. He's going to be the number one pick. But anyway, do you agree with that? I mean, would you put Trevor Lawrence behind Zach Wilson and Mac Jones?
No, I wouldn't. Have you seen Mac Jones's body? I mean, he needs a roadmap to get to the weight room. I mean, literally, seriously. I mean, somebody's got to give him directions on how to get to the weight room. Like, Mac, you know, we do have a weight room here in Alabama, right? Like, seriously, you could go in there a few days a week, you know, maybe pump up. The girls might like that a little bit, you know. Look, I respect June Jones. He's entitled to his opinion. I think oftentimes we evaluate the offense more than we evaluate the player, right? We evaluate the offense. Scouting is never about evaluating just the offense. I mean, that's what happened to a lot of people with Justin Herbert. The fact that Tua was picked in front of Herbert, seriously, you just watched those two players play this year. You watch Tua play, and you watch Justin Herbert. Would you ever take Tua before Herbert?
Nope. Not now.
Not no chance.
No chance. Not now,
Because everybody was saying, oh, the offense at Oregon, you know, I don't like that offense. He doesn't do this. No, stop evaluating the offense. Watch the player. Visualize the player, the projection scout. This is most important. You know, you've got to be able to project the player forward. What you see that player's talent can do and then project him into what he can do. I like Mac Jones. I thought Mac Jones played better than Tua. I really did. But I saw his body, and I just think, to me, the way Alabama is, he never plays, has to play fast. He's got great receivers around him. I worry he's ever going to be the elite player, especially because he's never demonstrated to me he wants to be an elite player because he refuses to go in the weight room. You're going to have to play in the NFL. You got to demonstrate you want to belong in the NFL. And if you think that body can withstand 16 games and getting hit all the time, good luck.
Didn't the counter, though, would, the counter Brady?
Yeah, that would be the counter as Tom Brady.
Brady went the sixth pick. He was the 199th pick in the draft.
That's right.
You think that is? You want
they botched it.
First overall, you want me to guarantee this guy 5 years, and you're comparing him to Brady? I mean, Brady, they took a chance on Brady at 199. And he got his body in shape. Now I got to pick Mac Jones, and he's going to be the next Brady. If I could get Mac Jones in the sixth round, hell yeah, I take
it. And Brady's a once in a 100 years type pick.
I mean, all right, Michael, we got to run. It's Michael Lombardi. Always love having you on. Radio.com, NFL Insider. Thanks, pal.
See you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Michael.
Insider calls, of course, brought to you by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app.
or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on GM Shuffle. That's his weekly podcast available on Raider.com. Always love talking to Michael Lombardi. Also, always love talking to Alan May. He'll join us at 9 o'clock to talk some Capitals here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Mm-hmm. Hey, listeners are going to think this is pretty cool, for especially the P1s. All year, we are celebrating the Junkies' 25th anniversary, presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org, and each week we're going to be coming out with a podcast, the Junkies 25th Anniversary Podcast. And you're going to be able to check in on that at 11 o'clock on Thursdays or anytime thereafter. We'll put out the new podcast Thursdays at 11 o'clock, and it's going to be a look back at maybe a character that used to be part of the show or a segment that was part of the show, and we debut with Omar, our intern from almost two decades ago.
Yes.
And the impact of Omar on the show.
Isn't it funny how when we heard those clips when we recorded,
yeah,
it just brings you right back to that era.
Yeah.
Like, it just brings you right back to, you remember those conversations so vividly when you hear them.
It also struck me, though, that Omar was just in the long line of punching bags, and we really haven't changed the script, because before Omar, it was CK. CK was a punching bag, and we would grill him about, you know, not getting laid and not hooking up when he was young. And then there have been different guys in that role all the way until AWOD. AWOD was like a new version of Omar.
It's a constant.
That's kind of the unwritten role of interns on shticky radio shows.
Is to get pummeled by the host.
The other thing is that, just looking back on it, we never have like that many like scary, successful dudes, at least. Some of the girls who have interned for us have become really successful. But we don't ever have, like, the dude that's just getting laid every other day as an intern. We always have kind of those loser schmuck
interns.
Yeah,
we have a bunch of weirdos over the last 20
plus
years.
Well, you got to be kind of a weirdo if you want to intern for a morning show.
Yeah. I mean, radio attracts, you know, just, like, shut-ins.
Yeah, some of the weirdest people on the planet gravitate to this medium.
Yeah.
Trust us, we've met a lot of them over the
years. That said, Omar was special.
Yeah, he was. But think about how much life has changed for us. I mean, not just personally, but just through, you know, work.
Right.
Is we would, you know, when we're doing the nights, we would come in at night. EB and I would throw the football around until Don and Mike got off the air.
Right.
And then we'd finally do our show.
For 45 minutes.
Sometimes, we'd get on the air at 8:45. And then we'd go out, especially on Friday nights, we would go out to some bar in Springfield for a two-hour appearance and be there till 2:30 a.m.
We were doing appearances from like midnight to 2.
I mean,
when we were youngins.
Can you believe that?
How about the year totally or so when life. We did
WFAN from midnight till 1 a.m.
Right? Oh, I will never do that again.
So did I.
That's why we told New York to F off. People don't understand that. They're like, you told New York? Yeah, we didn't like it. We didn't like doing it. What a pain in the
ass. Worst was because we also finished the show at 11 back then, and then we'd have to wait around for an hour and do a special show to talk about the Mets and the Yankees.
Didn't care about any of the New York
Listen
sports.
To Sweeney Murdy on the fan do updates.
How long did that last? It didn't last
It was about
long.
A year.
No.
Was it that long?
No, maybe 6 months. Whatever it was.
It was too long.
To continue.
It was too long. It was 6 months too long.
We put our foot down and we said, we're not doing it anymore.
Anyway, this retrospective, which we're doing right now on the air, that's what we're going to be doing in the podcast. Thank you to PenFed. It's the Junkies 25th anniversary podcast. Today it's about Omar. Thursdays at 11 o'clock is when the podcast will be released.
Drab, have you is Drab around?
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Have you considered, taking up the challenge of producing AWOD?
Producing what?
Making him show up. I told you, you'd make AWOD. My day. I mean, what's his name? Not AWOD.
Omar.
Omar. Would you take the challenge?
No, because I think that guy's made it clear he doesn't want any part of us.
He doesn't want any part of us.
Yeah, but use your... Why not?
He's moved on. Doesn't.
Do you think he's a dad now?
What's he get out of it?
Yeah, why does he want
What does Omar
do
get
it?
Out of it?
What?
He knows what's going to happen.
We could be blown away. He'll get his shine. People
gonna,
like attention dollars.
You think you're going to be blown away by Omar?
He could be married with kids. That would blow you away, wouldn't
it? He could be.
He's in his 40s now.
Why would he want to relive that trauma?
And that's what it was.
Sense of humor?
Well, some people don't have a sense of humor. You should know that.
He doesn't want any part of Eric Bickle grilling him about
You think he wants to relive how much of a loser he was?
Hold on. Do you think that I would do that to a 40-some-odd year-old guy?
Yes.
You do it to us.
I would be very respectful.
You do it to Cakes.
You do it to us. We're 50.
I know Cakes. My whole life. I don't know Omar
You do it to
anymore.
Kevin.
Huh?
You do it to Kevin.
I know Kevin his whole life now.
Omar, there's no chance Omar would come back on.
All right.
I remain a mystery at this point. I posit this, Jason. I'm kind of in your camp. I said this during the podcast. Jason wasn't able to do the first podcast because he was out sick.
Yeah.
I would guess, and I could be wrong, that he still lives at home with his parents.
Oh,
like
no
he just
way.
Strikes me as one of those guys.
He could.
I'm going to guess he's moved on from his parents.
Me too.
No idea.
And I would bet against married and kids.
Didn't he live on campus in college, or did he live at home?
Not sure.
He went to Mason, right?
Think so.
That's a big time commuter school.
It's a big time commuter school. I know, but
I don't know. That's a good question. But there's just no way you're going to get Omar to come back on and make an appearance. It's just not going to happen.
Anyway, so it's Thursdays at 11. Check out the Junkies 25th anniversary podcast presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. Hey, I wanted to kick around Tim Tebow. I mentioned his name earlier. So he retired from baseball. Mm-hmm. He actually was in it for 5 years. Would you consider Tim Tebow's return to baseball a success or not a success? Cakesy?
I mean, I guess a personal success for him that he made a go of it, and it was a dream to pursue it. But, I mean, he wasn't that successful on the field.
No, he certainly wasn't. He
personal success, yes. But, I mean, it didn't make a real impact.
No. 222, and he struck out, like, two times in the majority of the games.
It was a passion pursuit of his. And he did it until
he
was tired of doing it
anymore. I thought he was remarkably successful. He didn't care what other people thought. He was ridiculed on a daily basis whenever he was newsworthy. They loved to replay highlights when he did something unfortunate, if he had an error or swung and missed three times. They did everything they could to ridicule him. And he didn't care. He clearly wasn't doing it for money. He could have had such a great life, and he's going around from game to game in a friggin' bus in the summer. And he hit 222 or whatever he did over after not having played for 10 years.
Do you think, though, that? I remember at the time at the time that when he first decided to go on this journey and embark in Major League Baseball and chase the dream, that there were PR people, publicists, that all said it was actually going to help his brand.
because he's about chasing dreams and trying these things. And do you think it was calculated in a way to help him get more of these speaking engagements and that sort of thing?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so. I think his brand would have been okay.
He already had
just because of his days at Florida. But
agreed.
It depends on how you look at success. Like Cake said, from a personal standpoint, for him to go out and play professional baseball after not playing since high school.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years.
That to go play against professional hitters or pitchers and to hit – didn't he hit 270 one year? I think he did.
He might have.
Yeah, that part of it's a success, but yeah, he wasn't very good.
I mean, from an MLB general manager perspective, I mean, he never had
a chance to make a big league roster. Never.
Yeah, it was, you know, maybe a September call up, I think, but yeah, I mean, if you drafted him, you would say no, it was another miss of 50 misses every year.
But it was a PR ploy. That's what
for
it was.
For them, yes, yeah. but I think for him it was I respect anybody that's willing to go out there and be humiliated. And he knew people were butt-sized for a lot of reasons to make fun of him.
And he did get better because, remember, his first year he was really bad.
Yeah. Right.
And he struck out a bunch and he hit like .190, but he got better because he worked at it.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of respect for the guy.
Struck out a bunch. I mean, Jason, yeah, you're right. His best year was in Binghamton.
Nobody cares about strikeouts anymore.
Yeah. Double-A ball, he ended up hitting .273. And he had 6 home runs. Like, the power never really materialized.
Yeah, but he hit .270 in double A ball.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. And nobody cares about strikeouts. Everybody strikes out now. It's revolting.
I know, but he struck out 103 times in 270 at bats.
Yeah, it's
too much. More than one out of every 3 at bats he was striking out.
Well, because it's a hard
sport. And the power
sport
numbers were surprisingly low. Like, his slugging percentage that year, his best year was .399, but the other years is much lower.
He didn't play in 10 years.
It's a hard sport. It's like a beginner.
Yeah. It's like, it'd be like you trying to play hockey or something.
And by the time he got to AAA, he only hit 163.
That's what Chris Davis does. Chris Davis bats .170 and strikes out.
Yeah, but he gets paid $25 million to do it.
A lot of Chris Davis slander today.
I have
slander.
So much.
It's not slander if it's accurate.
People just thought he was doing it, you know, for fame and stuff. Trust me, those guys in the summer on those minor leagues, just they're not doing it for fame.
I just remember the one – I didn't have interaction with Tim Tebow, but I saw him at the casino in Atlantis. This was probably 10 years ago.
Was he with a smoke show?
Yes. And this is when he claimed he was a virgin, right?
Right.
No chance.
Maybe he was.
Technical virgin.
He took her up to the suite at the Cove and pummeled it.
Technical virgin.
But Tiger Woods was also there at that time. It was the year where everyone was there. Mark
All
Wahlberg
the
was there. Tebow was there. Tiger, for whatever reason, that week.
Jason Bishop.
I was there. For that week at spring break, everyone was there.
Hey, anyway, Mark Wahlberg was there, man. Was he cool, man? Played blackjack?
Tebow's playing at a table right next to Tiger's. Now, Tiger is playing with Arjun Atwal.
Right. Arjun Atwal, silly.
One of his best friends.
Arjun Atwal?
And so there's
every
security.
Every time you do that, Cakes, I think Pablo Francisco.
Right, that's what I'm doing.
Cakes.
I'm not doing
ahead,
Mark
Jason,
Wahlberg.
I want to hear
doing,
it.
I'm doing.
Well, I would tell the story, but Dum Dum Cakes has to come in with his Mark Wahlberg impression.
I know.
Please,
it's funny.
So,
you have to power through.
This is what happened. So, you know, Tiger's got a million people watching him, but you can't get within 30 feet of him because
Pretty
he's got security.
Guy, Tiger.
Oh, he does have security?
Oh, he has security. And he's betting $10,000 a hand. Mm. I was watching it. I was sitting at another table. I got up and I went over. I wanted to see what he was betting. He was Atwal, and I think there was Atwal, and there was one other guy playing.
Well, was Atwal playing $100 a hand?
Yeah, a couple thousand probably. Yeah. But he's betting $10,000 a hand. And then I looked over to Tebow. Tebow's betting $5 a hand.
Five?
Yes.
Wow.
God bless him.
I know. It was awesome.
Smart.
All right, coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. He's going to fill us in on what star just revealed she had 3 strokes and a heart attack during her last overdose. That's next on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Time now for the entertainment page, brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda's awesome, super simple. Just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code Junkies for 15% off at wavesoda.com.
Sugar. Did you guys see the story of the celeb that claims they had a heart attack and three strokes?
I did not.
So you guys care to guess?
I did not.
Ooh. Jason, did you see the story who it is?
Did not.
Can you give me who's in and out of rehab a lot from the way that you phrased the story?
Yes. I mean, it was an overdose.
Male or female?
Female. Female overdose.
I don't even know.
Age range?
I'm going.
I don't want
to. I'll go. I think Jason used to think she was somewhat attractive. Courtney Love?
No.
It's not a bad guess.
Jason did. I think he might have even used the word hot.
In a dirty way. Yes.
Yeah,
right. Now dirty it's a dirty hot. Way.
I would have no idea. How old?
I would say she's probably in her late 20s. Actually, she is 28.
Damn.
This is a grass word. Demi Lovato.
You got it. Demi Lovato says her drug overdose in 2018.
I believe it.
Resulted in the singer having, are you ready for this, three strokes and a heart attack.
Valdez, why aren't you playing the strokes right now?
Physical limitations that still affect
or
her.
Or Billy Squire, if you want to go really old.
I think she says
me.
She was left.
Stroke me.
She says she was left with brain damage. She says she doesn't drive a car because she has blind spots in her vision. She has a hard time reading.
I have a hard time reading. I don't think I've suffered a stroke.
And by the way, I've got brain damage too. Lock.
Yeah. What is yours from?
Just being old and being
dementia. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to a buddy yesterday, and I was talking about another friend of ours, and it's a friend that I talk to not a lot, but 5-6 times a year. I couldn't remember his name.
Oh, I do that.
Terrible
all the time.
Recall by
I
you.
I mean, my recall skills right now are about as good as a 98-year-old man's.
Yeah, it's amazing
Prevagen.
How that happens.
I need
Prevagen. That ginkgo biloba, whatever it is.
Can I do a Prevagen endorsement?
I wish you would.
My son says, you know, he's a big Rogan guy, and he says Alpha Brain, which he promotes. You want? Maybe we should try Alpha
the
Brain.
The Bickles love commercials. Hey, EB with Wish.
We're still waiting on the Neuro whatever from Bill Romanowski.
Neuro 52 or yeah, Neuro what, 54?
Yeah, what has happened
shown
to that?
Up yet?
You keep waiting for that.
What happened? Whatever happened to Romanowski? Did he stop doing interviews?
This song is bazilli. Don't think it isn't. I know it's old. It holds up.
The Strokes?
No, this is,
no,
Billy,
this is
Squire.
Billy Squire.
I wouldn't know the difference.
You've heard this song a billion times.
I mean, it was a smashola in the 80s. Probably went to number one.
I didn't listen to this kind of music.
You didn't listen to popular music, pop
it's a,
music
it's
in the
head,
80s?
It's a headbanger song.
Hold on. Let me hear the hook.
How have you not heard this one, Eric?
Can I hear the hook? This. Just stop talking.
The hook isn't starting now.
It's coming, though.
I know it's coming.
I used to think it was Stroke Man.
Hold on.
Here you go.
I've heard that part.
Of course you
have. Look! The other part sucks.
Stroke Man, silly, Jason.
But it was not a song that I listened to frequently. I've heard it.
Stroke.
So silly. Play that more, Valdez. Play less Bush and more Billy Squire, please.
I feel like he's just about to start playing his fart sound effects.
But I was thinking about this when I read this story, right? So Demi Lovato had three strokes and a heart attack. And obviously, anytime you read a story like that, you think about your own health. At least that's what I do because I'm selfish and I only think about myself. And I remember when I went to the doctor a few months ago and he said that I had a 4% based on my age and cholesterol and height and weight and all that,
chance.
I had a 4% chance for a heart attack or stroke at my age.
Right.
And I was supposed to feel good about that. I was 96% to go through this year and not have a heart attack or stroke.
Right.
Meanwhile, the entire world's freaking out about corona, you know, and your chance of dying is way, way lower. So I should be freaking out about having a heart attack or stroke, Jason.
It sounds like you are.
Yeah, sounds
exactly.
Like, yeah, you're at DEFCON 2. You're about to go to DEFCON 1.
You are right there, my friend.
4%, dude. I got a... That's
well,
a
what's
one
the,
in,
but what's again, the, what is that? What's a normal percentage for a 50-year-old man?
I think I was in a pretty good range. I think that's I think he wanted me to feel pretty good. And well, I walked out of there going, I'm only 96% not to have a heart
attack. This is where I'm going to do the JP bit. I play the numbers, and if I'm 96% to win a hand at MGM National Harbor, I feel pretty good.
You're pushing
I feel really good,
in.
Actually.
All
if
in.
If he hits the card, his gin card, so be it. Then I'm 6 feet under. But
right.
Usually I'm going to take 96%.
Exactly. Exactly.
96% is good. Like, if I got a 96% ever on a test, I would have sped home to show it to my parents. But right. I rarely got 96s on
if you got a 96,
you wouldn't
have
gone
to Towson. Cheated.
You're yeah. correct. Oh, you're probably right.
Hey, it's a university now. It used to be a college.
Yeah, it's Towson
I
University.
You, Eric, I'm afraid to eat anything. I didn't tell you guys this. I was going to text Rab.
Your stomach and all that?
Yeah, it happened again last night. And it wasn't as bad. I mean, it was bad for about 15 minutes.
It tends to come in waves with you, right? Like 2 or 3 days in a row?
So it happened again. Drabby, I was in the shower again. It's embarrassing. I mean, I can't believe this is happening.
I mean, not if you have something like appendicitis or something serious.
I can't believe this is happening to me.
But it's something in his diet.
It happened again last night. Now, it wasn't as bad, and I didn't have the chills or body aches, so I was able to sleep okay. But I don't know what to eat because there's obviously something I'm eating that's doing it to me.
Let's go through your diet yesterday. What did you have yesterday? Let's go through it.
I had a Pop-Tart for breakfast.
All right, that's obviously
what
not
flavor?
Helpful.
Strawberry? Blueberry?
No, brown sugar.
Did you toast it, or did you eat it right out of the wrapper?
I always eat it out of the wrapper.
What if you have a gluten thing that you don't realize?
Could be. And then for lunch, I had leftover chicken and green beans.
All right. That should be fine. What kind of chicken?
Chicken.
Was it like fried chicken?
No,
or?
It was grilled chicken from a butcher that we go to, the Whining Butcher. It was awesome.
Okay.
The Whining Butcher?
It's called the Whining Butcher. It's awesome. Okay. I'm telling you, it's the best chicken in the world.
It makes me laugh.
All right. Did you get a free throwback, Tom?
Capital Pizza can be better.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, they're good, too. And then for dinner, I had a Bang Bang chicken from Bonefish.
You love chicken.
You are the chicken man.
So maybe chicken.
Know, I didn't even know they had Bang Bang
chicken.
Chicken's
good.
They don't.
I knew they have Bang Bang shrimp.
No, they what don't. Kind you got to ask for it.
They make
but
it
they
special
it.
For you. You're
is
a big
is there like anything, maybe spices that you're putting on the chicken?
Well, the Bang Bang definitely has spices. Spicy.
What's the Bang Bang chicken?
It's actually off the menu. He just said.
I understand.
They only have bang bang shrimp.
What's on the bang? I don't even know.
It's from bang bang sauce.
Spices.
It's like a spicy sauce that they serve with.
So he's probably one of those spices. It's just
yeah, it's triggering you.
I know, but I eat that a lot. And it's not
dude,
like
just,
I.
It, the simple
there's
answer
something
is
going on.
You go
there's
to an allergist. On. They prick you a million times, and they figure out what your allergies are.
But it was just awful.
It's a pain
I
in the
slept
nobody
all
wants
right,
to do that.
But I mean, I'm in the shower on the floor. I mean.
You have I think it could be a gluten thing.
You have food sensitivities.
I think it could be a gluten thing.
It could be.
Cause something is causing Dr. EB, and I've saved a lot of lives lately. It could be.
I'm sure you saved a lot of lives.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. So, inflammation. Something is causing inflammation.
Something's in there, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm taking these Goalie gummies, so, I mean, my system works.
Oh, but gummies, so good.
Oh, yeah, I could eat a whole jar.
But I eat gummies that have no nutritional value, none whatsoever, just loaded with sugar.
How are your bowels?
They're good because I take these gummies.
The
but for whatever reason, at that particular time, I get a little, I mean, it ends up, I evacuate fine, but the pain before I do it is
JP used to
awful.
Have that.
Didn't Jason have like some sort of anus thing going on?
What?
Didn't you have some sort of anus thing going on?
Yeah, he likes them.
What does that mean?
Like you, it's a like fetish you, for him, Valdez.
No. He had like some doctor told him he had like some like collapsed butt or whatever.
No.
Collapsed butt.
No. You remember you had like some sort of, you saw some specialist
about
it. At
the colonoscopy, did they find anything?
I had like two polyps.
I think that's the only
they removed
thing
them,
about.
And that's no. I don't think that. Right, look, he's talking about it for something long time ago.
Look, we're gonna have to revisit the entertainment
about
page.
Your desire for them.
Yeah. We'll have to revisit the entertainment page in the 9 o'clock hour. But next, we'll shift and talk a little Washington Capitals. They get off
see
the schneid by beating the Penguins in their last game. We'll talk to Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. Next, here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.